Hello, Blazers. Welcome to episode 123 of UAB Green and Told, original debut Monday, May 6, 2024. Through this podcast, we're able to share stories from members of the UAB community. Looking for past episodes? Find us at alumni.uab.edu/greenandtold on Spotify or the Apple Podcast app. And while you're there, leave a written review so more alums can listen in. I'm Greg Berry, a UAB alum and Director of Communications in the Office of Alumni Affairs. For many of us, college is a time for growth and discovery. For today's guest, Emma Godwin, that's the case. You see, as Emma will share, coming to UAB was a deliberate decision in order to expose herself to new opportunities.
I really didn't know what I wanted to do. I mean, I've always had the problem that I've been interested in too many things.
But as Emma will reveal, she would find things that piqued her interest, including working on things that are literally out of this world.
They design, build, and service all of the cold stowage equipment, i.e. freezers, to go on the International Space Station. And so they have a 20-plus year-long contract with NASA.
Plus, as someone who will admit she's a lifelong learner, we'll discover what drives her into being the person she is today.
The two characteristics that I try and cultivate the most are patience and curiosity.
According to Fictive, the number of women working in engineering is on the rise. However, men still represent 9 out of 10 mechanical engineers. Emma Godwin's part of that 1 in 10. But that didn't deter this determined individual.
I think this is the story of a lot of people that were, I don't know, maybe had aptitudes in both math and science and biology. But it was the biomedical engineering program that ultimately drew me. It was the only school in the state to offer it as a major. And so I appreciated anatomy as much as I did calculus. And so both of those interests led me to that major at UAB. That's the story of a lot of other BMEs that I've talked to. It's like, you know, they couldn't really choose between math and the more biology science side. And this just seemed to strike the balance between the two. So.
You said biomedical engineering. What was it about BME that captured you as a teenager?
Yeah, I'll say I had very limited knowledge. I mean, really, the things that I saw that were cool to me were the prosthetics, the transplants. At the time, you know, UAB was doing some transplants that were some of the first of its kind. And I know that's more medical, but it still interested me a whole lot because at one point med school may have been on the mind as well. And so BME would have been a good background. But I think ultimately, yeah, probably the field of prosthetics really drew me to biomedical.
What kind of student were you at UAB? You ultimately wound up double majoring, but you started as BME. What were you like?
That's a tough question. I think I was the try-be overachiever, you know, like I would definitely put in the work. I don't know, it's sometimes at the expense of, you know, finding relationships with friends elsewhere. I said no to a lot of like social things in order to focus on school. So I was, I think a classic maybe engineering student, just very focused and yeah. I can't really think of any other adjectives to describe. I mean, I was always very motivated by grades. That was always a big thing in my life, you know. As a person who's in graduate school now, though, looking back, it's kind of freeing to not be so burdened by that. It's more about learning now. In undergrad, it was very much the drinking from a fire hose type.
Yeah.
And so you're trying to like learn as much as you can. And sometimes you don't have the time to really wrestle with the subjects in the way or interact with them in the way that you might have wanted to. And so you end up studying for grades, which isn't always the best approach at education. But I think that's probably me in a nutshell. I'm still learning how to be a better student, I will say. So
you started UAB as a biomedical engineering student. You wound up that way, but you added physics along the way. Why?
It was kind of a mix between practical and interest. So I guess on the practical side, I knew at that point in my career, because it was I was a junior in biomedical engineering before I decided to add a second major. The practical side was I knew all of the BME jobs were not necessarily located in Birmingham, and I wanted to stay in Birmingham. And so I was like, well, how can I, you know, really expand my, I guess, applicability to other jobs that I can stay in the area? And physics was an easy way to do so. But half of the decision was also just interest. I had entered a class called bioimaging in my junior year in the BME program. And it brushed the surface of a lot of physics concepts, particularly when we talked about magnetic resonance imaging. And I just found it so fascinating and interesting that I took a quantum physics class as an elective. And then I ended up taking the second version of it, and then electricity and magnetism. And then by that point, you know, because you're an engineer, you have to already take a couple physics classes. I had maybe only been 4 or 5 classes away from a major. And so I decided to stick around for a fifth year and finish that out while working at EITD. That was kind of my journey to adding a second degree.
Talk a little bit about the experience that you had with the Engineering and Innovative Technology Development Group at UAB, because it did some really cool things that people may not know about.
Ask current students if they know about the company EITD, and I get kind of mixed responses. Some know about it, some don't, and I think that is just it is a hidden gem on campus. But what they do is they design, build, and service all of the cold stowage equipment, i.e. freezers, to go on the International Space Station. And so they have a 20-plus year long contract with NASA to build and design different types of freezer units for different applications. And then they service those units. So there's actually a station within EITD where you can uplink and downlink certain information from the ISS so that you can manage and service. And yeah, it's really cool. I encourage everyone that's on campus to take a tour there at some point, because one, they love it when people come and see the work that they're doing, and two, the work is really cool. No pun intended.
With all the experiences you had at UAB with the double majors, what did you want to do in the end when you graduate?
Yeah, I really didn't know what I wanted to do. I mean, I've always had the problem that I've been interested in too many things. And so finding a job that matched, you know, any one of my interests was always something I was kind of fearful of. But one thing I did have to take into account was, you know, the week after I graduated, I got married and we moved away from Birmingham to where he was for about a year until I got the job back in Birmingham where I am now. But that also played a factor in choosing what type of jobs to pursue, and where we were located, which was in Chattanooga, Tennessee. There wasn't much opportunity for biomedical engineering and physics majors. And so that's when I had to start, you know, expanding my options out from there and just kind of take a more practical approach. And then, I mean, I'm a firm believer, if you can find interest in almost, you know, anything that you sit down and interact with. And so it didn't become much of a worry to, you know, I have to find the exact right job and I'll keep looking, you know, no matter what. It was very like, you know, I could see myself doing this type thing.
You guys made the conscious decision to come back to Birmingham, and you started at Southern Research, which is, well, I'll let you kind of tell the story, because it's changed iterations, but you started at Southern Research, which now has become a different offshoot, a different company. Why'd you choose there?
Well, it was kind of contacts was a big thing. So the prior director of EITD, it was Lee Marotti. He was reached out to by a department head at Southern Research asking for students. And so my name got involved in that. And so it was really a direct phone call that I was able to find this opportunity with, which is, students will learn, it's, I mean, a lot of it is in who you know and the relationships you've built throughout, you know, your undergraduate and graduate career. That was what led me here. And then I started learning, I mean, even before I accepted the job, I started learning more about what they did here. And Yeah, a lot of people didn't know. So a lot of people in Birmingham are familiar with Southern Research, but they didn't know that they Southern Research also had a second facility on Lakeshore, which was just an engineering facility that did a lot of materials testing, a lot of intelligence, surveillance, reconnaissance work, which is the, I can get into that in a little bit. That's what I do. But as of about a year and a half ago, the engineering facility of Southern Research was bought by a defense company, which more closely matches what we're, what that facility, what our facility was doing. Southern Research is known as a life sciences company, and that's where they're headed in the South Side location. And so it made sense for a defense company to purchase the engineering division of Southern Research. And that defense company is called Kratos. And so that's who I work for now, Kratos Defense.
When you look at the Kratos Defense website, you see some really, really cool things. You know, different vehicles that they're working on, aircraft. You talked about surveillance and reconnaissance. What are you working on, and what are your hands on today?
For the past 4 years, I've primarily been involved in two programs, and they're both stabilized electro-optical units for intelligence, surveillance, reconnaissance purposes. So we design and build and service stabilized camera systems. I tell people, like, the way that we got into this was around 2001, I think. It was federally mandated that for every launch coming out of Cape Canaveral and Johnson, that you would have eyes in the sky. And so that means watching the rocket from the sky as it takes off, as it reenters. And so what Southern Research did was they built the optics that go on the nose cone of the NASA WB-57 aircraft. And so that is the aircraft that watches these launches that happen a lot. They also do a lot of science experiments, weather experiments. A big thing that happened, well, yeah, it was relatively recently. In 2017 was the solar eclipse. They had two WB-57s chasing it in tandem with the Southern Research Kratos optics, looking and post-processing all those images and everything. And so that's how the department got into it. And yeah, ever since, we've been designing high requirement, low volume, stabilized optical systems, mostly for military use.
What's the future of all of that? Because it's got to be huge. I mean, the sky, pardon the pun, with what we've been talking about, has to be the limit.
Yeah. Yeah, I, as an engineer, not necessarily a program manager, I am worried about the next 1 to 2 years. That's like where my horizon almost ends. But I have heard other program managers talk about the fact that eventually, we want to be able to build and service 20 plus of these units. Right now, we've built one, and we're in a production review of serial number 1, 2, 3, and 4. And so we're going to be building 4 this year. But the hope is to make it a commercial product that can be interfaced to with a lot of different aircraft platforms, make all of the interfaces public domain so that people can design their own payloads to go in our stabilized gimbal system. The goal is to make a whole lot more of them. But as any engineering design cycle will tell you, you know, you got to make the first few work in order to gain the trust and gain the funding for that type of production. And so that's the phase that we're in right now, is the preliminary stages.
We've been talking about mechanical engineering, and it traditionally has been a male-dominated field. What's it like as a young woman breaking into that field and starting to lay the foundation of your career?
It has not been as difficult or as intimidating, really, as I thought it might be. I mean, going through undergraduate in the BME program specifically, it's a healthy mix of kind of 50 male, 50 female percentages. And so stepping into a role where I'm the only technical female person in my department of 40, it's been an adjustment. I mean, but it's not been something that is hard or unnatural, I guess. I have really great colleagues that are very supportive. And it's a tough question because it's like, on some level, it's, it's easier to have like camaraderie with people that are like you. But then on the other same side of the token, it's really nice to interact with people that aren't like you. And so, it's been both fun, difficult, challenging, all the adjectives, really. My hope is in the next couple of years that we hire more females as mechanical, electrical systems engineers. But, you know, we'll see where that goes. I learned a lot about being what it means to be a female in a male-dominated world when I was president of the Society of Women Engineers in undergrad. I did that for 2 years. And that was really eye-opening as far as the, like, differences that you might encounter in industry or in academia. And so it gave me a good footing to make sure that, you know, women historically paid like 83 cents to the dollar. So that made me make sure that just because I'm a woman, I'm not getting paid less for the exact same work that we do. And there's good pay transparency culture here at Kratos. And so that's been a good thing to make sure that no one is not getting paid different just because they are different. And so, but it's things like that that you learn, and you know, as you make your way through this world, that you learn to just interact with people that are different than you better. And I don't know, it's kind of a rambling answer, but it's a good question.
Based off of that, is there advice that you would give a girl or a young woman who is exploring studying going into the field of engineering?
I would say that I think it's really easy for us to not give people the charitable interpretation. And so approaching things that people say that could be taken as harmful, I mean, making sure that, one, that it's always giving people the charitable interpretation. And people typically are not malignant in something they say. If it's off color or degrading, they're just ignorant. And so you can either use that opportunity as a teaching opportunity to be like, you know, this so-and-so, you shouldn't really tell women to smile because of this, you know, like, so you could either use it as a teaching opportunity or wait for it the next time it comes around. But I would say it's really easy to look at yourself as a victim if you're the only person of your kind, like, but I think giving people the charitable interpretation really is a good mode of operation, because you can earn the trust of your colleagues better that way. That's kind of a more interpersonal piece of advice. As far as like a technical piece of advice, I would just say that like the two characteristics that I try and cultivate the most are patience and curiosity, because without those two things, it's going to be really hard to design complex systems or approach hard engineering problems. But if you have those two things, if you're patient through the iteration and curious enough to see it through to the end, then, you know, who knows what kind of solutions you can come up with.
Mentioned that your focus is the next few years just to see where things go. But as someone who is relatively young in their career, where do you see yourself down the road 20 years from now?
Oh man, 20 years from now. I hope to have a PhD by then and doing some sort, having my hands both in industry and academia in some respect, because I really do appreciate teaching. I've had a couple of really good teachers throughout the years. And so I feel like I want to explore that in some way, but also like remain in industry. There's a lot of people here at Kratos that are actually adjunct professors at UAB, and it's a really good relationship. So maybe that, maybe some sort of managerial position or, but ultimately I still want to stay technical. And a lot of people will tell you, you know, you've got to either choose the technical route or choose the managerial route. And I think that's true if you're in a large company, but if you're in a small to mid, I feel like you can marry those two things well together. And that's where we're at currently. I mean, Southern Research was a very small company, Kratos, we have about 5,500 employees across the United States. And so it's more of a mid company. It's still not a prime subcontractor, but it's mid. So maybe, you know, having that experience as a small and mid will set me up well for a large company in the future. But for now, I envision myself staying at a company size, about this size, and doing some teaching, you know, mentoring and things like that.
That's Emma Godwin. In 2019, Emma graduated with a double major in physics and biomedical engineering from the College of Arts and Sciences, School of Engineering, and Honors College. Today, she is a mechanical engineer at Kratos Defense and Security Solutions in Birmingham. As someone who designs complex things, it's actually easy for her to understand what it means to be a blazer.
I think of all the t-shirts I've gotten throughout my career at UAB, and the one that I like the most wearing is one that's just called Powered by Will. And I think that is very true of people that go to UAB is it's a lot about willpower, but also balancing with the fact that, like, you know, you need to know when to ask for help and things like that. But that really speaks to me as far as being able to approach this world, is just doing things from a level of discipline and, yeah, will.
Be sure to check out past episodes of the UAB Green and Told podcast. Listen in at alumni.uab.edu/greenandtold. Have a story to share or know someone who does? Email greenandtold@uab.edu. Finally, be sure to follow us on social media. Just search UAB Alumni on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Thanks for listening, and until next time, go Blazers!